Let us read of the greatness of that love in Romans chapter 5. And certainly when we think of the greatness of God's love, thy love to me, O Christ, is at the very center of that. How much does God love us? And that will help us to know how to love one another. We are to love each other as much as Christ has loved us. Yes, that really can be put very simply as we read this passage of Scripture. We are to love each other greatly, even as God has loved us. And if we're ever to love as we've been commanded, we need to experience, to know something of the greatness of God's love for us. And in this experience and knowledge, I don't believe there's any passage in all of Scripture that surpasses this, that speaks with such brevity of the greatness of God's love. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the Bible put very simply, really. Here is the grandeur and greatness of God's love. The reality put to us all this evening. We know the story. We've heard it. God is the great lover. And God gives His Son. And it's not just talk. There's a demonstration of this love that's overwhelming. And then we begin to comprehend something of the greatness of that love when we comprehend the object that He loves. As you think about that very word, God, oh, it can mean many things to people, but that word, God, the lover, as it comes from God's Word, there is a focus that comes from the whole of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it unfolds. And the wonder and awe of His love, ordained before the foundation of the world, is amazing. God, when we pronounce the Word, we must flood our minds with something of God's greatness, God's glory, God's grace, God's goodness, and God's greatness. Oh, He's this infinite being of majesty, holiness, righteousness, almighty in His power. What we really call infinite space is just a part of His creation. What we speak of as eternity is but as yesterday to Him. He is God. He is the infinite Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. And yet at the same time, it staggers us to hear God is love. And He loves us. He's the lover. We sometimes enjoy singing that hymn, the different tunes and different ways, but the essence of it all is He's the lover of our souls. This God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not that there's war in the Trinity or some division. It's not that the Son is trying to talk this Father, who's a God of wrath, into loving us. No, God, yes, is the one who is holy and brings wrath upon sin, and yet He loves us and He is the lover. And it's not the Son talks the Father into loving us. It's the triune God in His great love. He is the lover of our soul. Some have even invented a God that I believe is what we'd have to call schizophrenic, that somehow or the Father not quite loving us, and the Son trying to convince Him, and the Holy Spirit pouring all this into our hearts that we would love God. But it really is God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that loves us. It says in verse 6, at just the right time, a time appointed by God. Yes, He loved us with that everlasting love before the foundation of the world. He has drawn us with loving kindness. He's shown that love. We sometimes think of someone who really loves someone, they give them gifts. And certainly when we come to the gift that is given, the gift of a lover, it proves His love in an amazing way, doesn't it? It's not that it's somehow or another something else, so to speak, than Himself, for we read all together, we know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave that gift, not something else, some stuff, somehow or another, but He gave the one who was always with Him, the one who was from the very innermost being of who He is. He gave the one who is the very expression of His love. And as Bonhoeffer has expressed there for you to read again and again in our bulletin, God is love and love is always He Himself. Love is always God Himself. Love is God's gift of Himself for us. Turn with me in those beautiful words of love in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. There it is. The gift is God's very self in giving His Son. And the third aspect of this love that's found in Romans chapter 5 is what we would speak of, the great demonstration of His love. The demonstration of the lover. Talk is cheap, but He demonstrates it in the great act of all of the universe, in all of history, that death on a cross. Those of you who have children, I don't know if you've ever thought of giving up a daughter for someone else, giving a son for someone else. Our passage speaks of giving your life for a righteous person. It's rare at best. Maybe someone would sacrifice their life for a special friend or a son or a daughter. But God gave His Son. For whom? He gave His Son in a demonstration of His love for the ungodly, sinners. And we have to realize that Christ never died for one righteous person. There were none righteous. They were all sinners. This is the great demonstration of His love. There's nothing in us to call forth God's love. This is the love of God, the cross. There's where He demonstrates it for you. His great love for sinners. When you think back through, what we really have before us is that our Lord's death on the cross is that supreme demonstration of the love of God. As you look at the cross, there is the love of God. Do you feel that love when you look to the cross? Have you experienced it? Is it part of who you are and how you understand life itself? Do you know the love of God? Isaac Watts has told us that he felt, he experienced the love of God. The old hymn writer will sing this hymn in a few moments. Our Lord's death on the cross, he experienced it. He says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. At the end he says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. He experienced that personally himself. And then in between those lines, those verses, he speaks of the details of suffering. Two of the most amazing lines we have in all of English poetry. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Survey it. Look at it. Experience it. It's something for us, not just to have in a textbook somewhere or a theological discussion, but it's something for us to experience and know. Why did he do it? It was all because of the grace and love of God. Not a single thing in me or in you. God demonstrated his love to us in the death of his Son on the cursed cross. Then finally, as we come to the Lord's table, isn't there a sense that when we read these verses, and it says that God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We really begin to grasp something of a deeper aspect of the love of God when we realize that he loved us. His love is set upon us, those who were powerless, the Scripture speaks. Paul emphasizes that they were ungodly, without desires to serve him. Sinners, how much does he love us? How do we determine that? Is it how many people there are in the world? How many people who ever lived? The billions. And then we'd say, by that great quantity, that's how much God loves. Oh, I think that's a noble concept, but it's not what the Bible speaks of here. The Bible speaks of this amazing love of God, that he would love us, and it's so great and so deep a love that he would love ungodly sinners, powerless people to save themselves. That's the marvel of marvels. Love for sinners. It's not so great because of the size of our planet. It's not so great because we are such a great people. No. Here is God's love, that God loves powerless, ungodly sinners. That the God who is infinitely holy would love powerless, ungodly sinners such as we are. I still remember the days in university when a group of men, God took hold of them and taught them this very truth, and some of them waking me up at 2 and 3 in the morning, just amazed to realize God loved them not because of anything in them, but that he loved them, and his love was so great, their being sinners such as they were. Has that ever grabbed hold of you? It shakes you to realize how great is his love. Do you know this love? Have you experienced the love of God? About 10 days ago, our choir sang this great hymn of old Samuel Davies, great American preacher and successor to Jonathan Edwards as president of what later became Princeton University. About 250 years ago, he wrote this hymn that our choir sang, great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike and divine. But the fair glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? Such dire offenses to forgive, such guilty, daring worms to spare, This is thy grand prerogative, and none shall in the honor share. In wonder lost, with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God, pardon for sins and of deepest dye, a pardon bought with Jesus' blood, with Jesus' blood. Oh, may this strange, this matchless grace, this godlike miracle of love, fill this wide earth with grateful praise, and all the angelic host above, who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free. Did you catch that phrase, such guilty, daring worms? Now, we wouldn't speak of ourselves like that. And yet, in comparison to who God is and His holiness, that He would love us, we are as guilty, daring worms. God's greatest gift, ungodly sinners have received His love in Jesus Christ, His death on the cross for us. The new commandment tells us to love one another until he doesn't please me anymore, until she's not nice to me anymore. We're to love one another until love those who are beautiful. Love one another, yes, as long as everyone's nice. Love as long as it doesn't cost anything. No, that's not Christianity at all. The great reality of it all comes to us. Take your bulletin with me and read those words with me on the front cover. There they are. Let's read them out loud together. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. That's, in reality, the greatest growth seminar ever given. It's the greatest course in apologetics ever given. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples indeed, as we love one another, as I love you. Let us pray together. Father, our greatest desire this evening is that we would survey something afresh, experience, O Lord, how great is that love to us. We thank you that you really are the lover of our souls, and that you have given the greatest gift far beyond diamonds, rubies, mansions, far beyond all the greatest gifts this world has ever thought about. You've given yourself, your only begotten Son, for us. And he demonstrated his love in dying for our sins on the cross. O Lord, we still are amazed that you commended your love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O Lord, write upon us afresh the wonder and awe of your love as we survey the wondrous cross. In whose name we pray, Jesus. Amen.